Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Schneider Electric Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Elara Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mudit Kabra from Elara Securities Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Lizanne. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Elara Securities, we welcome you all for the Q3 FY23 and FY23 conference call of Schneider Electric Infrastructure Limited. I take this opportunity to welcome the management of Schneider Electric Infra, represented by Mr. Sanjay Sudhakaran, Managing Director, Mr. Mayank Holani, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Vineet Jain, Head Investor Relations. We'll begin the call with a brief overview by the management, followed by the Q&A session. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Sudhakaran for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mudit. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Sanjay Sudhakaran here, your Managing Director and CEO for Schneider Electric Infrastructure Limited. As usual, I will get straight to the topic by talking about the economic outlook of the country. We'll go over to the page 3, where we have outlined certain macro indicators. Clearly, the economy seems to be facing some headwind in terms of growth projections, but this could be due to some base effect of last year and we coming fully out of the COVID impact and a year-on-year comparison. However, we do see some headwinds in terms of the global situation, the recession fears, I would say more fears that are looming around, and the reductions in spend by certain IT giants, et cetera, do pose some headwinds in terms of the projections for India on an overall basis. What we feel is that this twin story of electrification and digitization along with decarbonization will stay strong. As we can look through in the future outlook that we present on some of our key segments, we feel that these things could somehow be mitigated and we should be in the range of we can expect a growth of around 6%-7% of overall GDP in the calendar year 2023. The industrial production forecast does seems to be a little on the lower side. However, things are expected to improve as we go forward. Going on to page number 4, which is the segment trends, we see continued interest in the government to invest money on modernizing the grid. This is of course linked to the urbanization that is happening across India as well. We could see some moderation in terms of mineral mining and metals, which came off from a very strong year last year. However, the trends on the mobility sector seem to be very strong, again driven by urbanization and the need for more urban transport, primarily airports and metros, and the modernization of railways, which is the Vande Bharat platform, could see some very strong opportunities which are presented towards us in the market. The cloud and services segment, which is primarily the data center market, continues to be strong. We could see more investments coming on smaller data centers, which are the edge data centers, along with the co-located large hyperscalers as well. The industry and building segments is also expected to pick up with vacancy rates dropping to a very large extent in all metros across India and rental rates firming up. We could see expansions coming in the building segment as well. Overall, I think despite all the headwinds that we see on the global economy side, we do see some good prospects on the Indian economy. Certain sectors might perform a little lower than the others, but the negative impacts would be canceled out with the positive impacts, which will be driven by the government's push and drive to drive infrastructure growth in India to keep ahead of the growth curve. Going on to slide 5 and beyond, I will use certain examples to articulate our conformance to our strategies which we spoke about previously. So here is one of the largest orders that we have won for smart RMUs, which from a DISCOM in the south of India, which is clearly a vindication of our strategy around being focused around our key accounts, digitization with a smart RMU, and partnerization program, which is leading to more and more transaction orders coming in, and we enhancing our position in this segment with better and better cash flows. So this win clearly demonstrates our ability to execute on our strategy in these aspects. I will go on to slide 6, which is a repeat customer from one of the cement majors trying to put up a greenfield project in an already existing site, and this was primarily a completely digital order with connected equipment and SCADA and solutions which will lead to further lifecycle revenues, which is again our focus on our strategy to grow services and software. We go to slide 7. We are committed to our key focus segments, and transportation being one of them, and primarily urban transportation. We have won a very large order for the mass rapid rail transit system in the north of India. We can expect this to be scalable with many more phases of this order coming in the future. Of course, we need to win these orders in a competitive manner, but given the reference installation that we can have in this with this customer, I think this would position us positively. On the cloud and services provider, another repeat order from a colo giant in India. So again, a very strong pitch with data center customers with edge control software like SCADA, necessary digital communication, and a very strong powertrain in terms of both medium voltage equipment and low voltage equipment here. I'll go on to slide number 9, which again demonstrates our ability to percolate solutions with customers, which will give us lifecycle revenues. So on the left-hand side, you see an example of a major cement giant, which is now on the EcoStruxure Asset Advisor platform with arc protection feature inbuilt into it. This is again a solution which is predictive in nature, along with the EcoStruxure Transformer Expert, which is again a transformer solution which is predictive in nature. With leveraging our ETAP acquisition that we made globally, which will provide them with a digital twin. So these three solutions will provide the customer with a reduced downtime due to a solution that promotes proactive maintenance, reducing downtime and reducing failures. So this is going to be an example where a customer will real-time see the benefits of these solutions. On the right-hand side, we are working with a major oil and gas public sector unit and retrofitting our old relays with the modern relays that we have launched in the market, which is the P3 and P5. This will again provide us with opportunities in the future for service retrofit and also new equipment which can go with the state-of-art relays. So customer stickiness and over a long time and lifecycle revenues, again one of the strategies that we have articulated in our previous calls as well. So going on to slide 10, our basic philosophy behind digitization is to try and move towards 100% natively connected equipment. We impress upon customers the need for an edge control software which will connect all their equipment together and provide them with live monitoring. And finally, on a layer 3, we provide them with diagnostic software connected to the cloud that can boost their productivity and reduce their downtime. So the pillar of digitization rests on we trying to serve the customers on layer 1, layer 2, and layer 3, which is articulated on the right-hand side in terms of what we call as connected products, edge control, and apps and analytics. We'll go to slide 10, and this is how we are progressing on these initiatives. We have almost a 20% growth in terms of our edge control layer and a 50% layer growth in terms of our software and digital services, as we call it. And you can see that we are trying to percolate into all our key segments here, whether it is power distribution, automobiles, metros, refineries, and steel. So, and being largely a key account business, we see strong repeatability happening. Once the customers adopt this technology and are comfortable with this technology, we see that they can be long-term attached with Schneider Electric for many years to come, providing us with lifecycle revenues. Also, slide 12, we spoke about a number of times about the fact that we are diversifying our portfolio into segments that we have not been strong before. Some of these are emerging segments, some of these are segments which have existed, but our portfolio remained largely on the power and grid side due to historic reasons. But you can see that the diversification is actually bearing fruit. The industrial and building segment is growing by 40%, which is almost two times the rate at which the company is growing. And the cloud and services segment, which was very small in previous years, has now gaining contribution and contributing positively to our business, and it's growing at around 150% year on year. And with more and more customer acquisitions in the space, we expect this business to be sizable in years to come. I'll go to slide 13. Along with all this, we are making sure that your company is positioned very strongly in the minds of customers, as we call it, top of the mind recall. We have actively been involved with customers on the thought leadership side, collaborating along with customers to create forums that will create awareness around decarbonization, digitization, and electrification, which are the pillars on which our strategy lies. So you can read for yourself. There are a number of events that we have participated. This is just a snapshot of what's happened in the previous quarter, but throughout the year we have engagements with the top leaders in the industry as well as decision makers. So going on to slide 14, you would have got a glimpse of our financials, and I would like to say that we stay committed to our strategy, which is accelerated partner growth, more digital services, and diversification of our portfolio. And along with this, the financials will follow. And I would now request Mayank Holani, our CFO, to lead you all through the financials and give you a glimpse of what's behind it as well. Over to you, Mayank.
Thanks, Sanjay, and good evening, everyone. You can move on to the next slide, slide 15. Some orders. So our orders for the quarter grew at about 10.6%. These are just the OG outside group orders and not the within group orders. And the orders for full year have grown by about 10.3%, taking it to about 15,376 million. We saw good momentum in orders in all segments, and our backlog at the end of March 23 grew by about 15%. Now moving on to next slide on sales. This quarter saw a growth of about 20.7% on sales, and we landed at about 410 crores versus 340 crores in previous year same quarter, while sales for full year stood at about 16.1% at 17,772 million or 1,777 crores versus 1,530 crores in previous year, and this is once again the highest ever revenue in any financial year. So last year we touched the highest number, and again this year we have crossed it. So we see good momentum in sales quarter after quarter. There may be slight ups and downs, but we are in the right direction and implementing our strategy as explained. Now moving on to the next slide, 17. You see P&L for the quarter. We saw a growth of 10-20% on sales, a slightly higher other income. So our material gross margin is 37.6%, which is an improvement of about 840 bps on versus last year. This is due to a couple of factors. One is being the raw material cost normalization, which has been moving normally up and in the previous few quarters, and also to some extent the better mix of the portfolio, so which has led to this higher gross margin. EBITDA, if you see, it's about 15.8% versus 5.9, so a growth of about 990 bps. Profit before exception items at 454 million, 11.1% of sales versus 27 million, at that is 0.8% of sales. So that's a very good growth of about 1030 bps. And exceptional items, so this is slightly few small item, which is so you see a net profit after tax of about 448 million, which is 10.9 versus last year what we had about 7 lakhs profit for the quarter. Moving on to the next slide, slide 18, you see the full year financial results. Sales, as I mentioned earlier, about 16% higher, other income at the similar level, and the GM has improved to about 32.7% versus 30% in previous year. And you see it is last year there was a dip in GM because of the raw material inflation and supply chain constraints. So we have brought back to the normal level, and the weather improved from the previous year before that as well. So now we are at the right level of GM in a way, and recovered whatever dip or the decline we had seen in previous year. EBITDA at 10.1% versus 6.3% in previous year, and the profit before exception items of 108 crores, 6.1 versus 2% in previous year, so about 410 bps improvement. And exception items, if you will recall, in the quarter 1 and 2, we had reported some profit due to the reclassification of interest component of loan and during the renewal of the loan, and also the profit due to sale of some land at the Naini. So after that, net profit is about 123.6 crores versus 27.6 crores in previous year. And that's it from my side. We can now open for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Amar Maurya from AlfAccurate Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
So thanks a lot for the opportunity and congratulations for a stellar set of numbers and strong order book. So, couple of questions. Firstly, if you can give the order book, closing order book, what is the closing order book for the Q4?
So our backlog, the OG order backlog at the end of March 23 is about 10,735 million INR. And last year, December 22, it was 817 crores or 8179 million INR.
Okay. And secondly, sir, in terms of our revenue growth on a year-over-year basis, full-year basis, what would be the growth in the transaction services, transaction services and systems, if you can give the breakup of that?
So transaction obviously has gone higher about 40 odd percent. You are asking about orders or sales?
Both order book breakup of the transaction services and systems and also the sales, both, if you can give the breakup.
Order book, you are asking the order booking breakup, right?
Yeah, order booking breakup.
So in order booking, the full year, the breakup is about 48% equipment, 10% project, 27 transaction and 15 services.
10% transaction and 15 services. And let's say, sir, what would be the mix of, let's say, order book for the end of FY22?
That was March 22, right?
Yeah, March 22.
51 equipment, project, 21 transaction and 14 services.
So basically, why is this transaction transaction reduced, right? Transaction services.
So last year it was 21, this year it was 27.
Okay. And services you are saying 14?
14 to 15, services improved.
Okay. And sir, similarly, if you can give the breakup of revenue as per FY23 transaction, services and systems?
So revenue is system 69, transaction 20 and services 11. Previous year was 72 systems, 17 transaction and 11 services. So mainly the 3% change between systems to transactions.
Okay, and that led to the profitability improvement.
So it's not as simple as though that is one of the factors, but it's not as simple that okay, yeah, that just because there are multiple factors, right?
I got that. So sir, basically now if we see the mix is moving more towards the high margin business of transaction and services, and I believe the order inflow which you are going to see in FY24, that would also be more skewed towards the more connected products, services and transactions. So basically under this light, how do we see FY24 profitability? Like, do we see that, I think 10% EBITDA margin we close this year, what should be the profitability we should look for the FY24?
See, we don't give any guidance as such on the numbers.
But I'm just asking, structurally, should we see the inch up given the mix of the order book which you have and the kind of, order inflow and pipeline which you are seeing?
Structurally, we should, our ambition is to continue improving on this, right? We continue improving the performance and the P&L quarter after year after year on year, right? There may be some movements within quarters because it's a different project linked business, so there may be mixed changes quarter on within quarters or something, but on a long term basis, year on year, we should continue to improve.
Okay. And secondly, sir, this revenue growth, you are guiding for 6% revenue growth, right? That is what did I heard correctly?
No, revenue growth, I said 16.
No, guidance for FY24, I think sir, MD sir alluded something 6.
I did not say any revenue growth.
Okay. So revenue growth would be what, 12-15% revenue growth we should assume?
As I said, we are not giving any numbers for the next year.
Okay.
You have seen last 2 years, so you can make out what we should do, but I am not giving any number.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Apurva Bahadur from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead. The line for the current participant has dropped off. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Dhavan Shah from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, thanks for the opportunity. So I have a question on the gross margins front. You already mentioned that some part of the benefit came because of the lower raw material cost, because there were some changes in the product mix. So can you please share the difference that how much it is came from the easing of the raw material front and how much it is because of the improvement in the mix? Because there is roughly 800 to 900 basis point improvement.
No, see,
And the raw material easing, do you foresee that this is sustainable? I mean, in terms of the pricing scenario, how do you see? Do you have to pass on the benefit for FY 2024, or this benefit can be expected to continue for this fiscal as well?
See, we are into a ETO business where you do costing for each project individually based on, you know, the tender requirements, and then you get an order, right? So it's not a fixed price, list price kind of business. Now, on the another question on the mix and the raw material impact, there's a, you know, mix also plays a big role, and that's where if you see historically also, quarter-on-quarter, sometimes you see very big variances in the gross margin, because some, if you have a few big orders of few big projects of a certain product, it can swing your GM. As well as, you know, maintaining, obviously, the Q4 GM percentage standalone, if you look at it, it's not the representative, right? If you say 36% GM is representative for quarters to come, obviously it is not, right? Because we have to look at the GM for the full year, and if you see the past from 2021 to 2021-22, we dropped the GM, because that year there were again raw material lot of unexpected movements were there on the upward side, and then you had supply chain challenges also. So now we, this was a more of a normalized year, much more normal than that. So it's a kind of a normal level, so obviously 36 is not something which will continue.
Okay, but on YOY basis also, if I look at, it's roughly 300 basis point improvement versus the last year. So this-
Yeah, so it-
So can you share the breakup? I mean, out of this 300 basis point, is that largely came because of the lower raw material cost, or is there any part of the changes in the product mix also?
See,
Actually, we cannot, we should not extrapolate everything, because got a number of reasons associated with it. Sorry to interrupt, Mayank.
You are right, Sanjay.
The business change makes, there is more of transactionalization happening. There are more of better projects, as we call it, driven by digitization. So it's a configured to order business, right? So it's not always easy to measure that, how much came from pricing, how much came from raw materials, et cetera.
It's a mix of lot of factors, right? And-
Okay. And the last one is, you know, in terms of the order backlog, like we are segregating the segments between, total five segments are there. So is there any possibility, like we can get, you know, the order book breakup into these five segments? And because I think in one slide it is mentioned that the industry and the building order book is up by roughly 40% YOY. The cloud services order backlog is also up by 150% YOY. So is there any mix can we get based on these five segments in terms of the order backlog and, the GP margin for, these five segments?
See, obviously, where you quarter-on-quarter, your backlog or order book mix will keep on varying. Different segments may have different growth in a particular quarter, but we cannot provide you, you know, backlog or order book as such by segment or by industry.
Sure, sir. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Viraj Mithani from Jupiter Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir, and congratulations on the very good numbers. So my question is that, does this mean that we are shifting towards more and more towards the EcoStruxure platform, and our vision has changed from being a product company to a full solution company or something?
No, I think, Viraj, good question. So, software and which is primarily EcoStruxure, as you rightly mentioned, also pulls products in. So there is no strategy to defocus on products. Products is always at the center. The way you pull products can be through a pure product play, it can be through digital products, it can be through edge control software, or it could be through apps and analytics. So primarily, what software does it, it provides a very strong stickiness between the customer and the organization, because it's not just the product features that matter, it's the overall experience that the customer gets that matters.
Okay. And sir, like, does it mean that over the period of time, we shall see the improving margins because of the initiative we have taken in last 2 to 3 years? changing the, means going towards more software side, giving a more solution. Is this fair to think?
So that is the intent, as we have already always articulated in all our strategy presentations, that the idea is to move towards more of services, and that too more of digital services and more of recurring services, right? So that is what gives you a very healthy organization in terms of top line.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best, and good luck for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alisha Mahavla from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. So I joined a little late. What is the order backlog number as on 31st March?
That's 10,735 million INR.
And this will be executable over what period?
See, typically, some orders may even be going to next year. Some orders would be going to next year. Some would be in this year. So typically, our backlog is about 7 to 8 months of sales. And, you know, based on product, it ranges from some products may be deliverable in 3 to 4 month cycle. Some may have 6 to 8 month cycle.
So on an average, 6 to 8 months is the kind of number. From my execution perspective. Okay. And at the start of the call, we mentioned that, you know, we're expecting the GDP growth rate of 6-7%. So do we have any aspiration of X percent of GDP growth is what we target or we believe is achievable for our kind of business?
Sorry, can you repeat?
We mentioned that we're expecting the GDP growth rate at 6 to 7%. For the current financial year. So just wanted to know that as our business, can we assume like a 1.5x kind of GDP growth rate for our business?
It's difficult to comment. Let's take off giving a forward statement, which I said, as I said earlier, we don't give. So.
Okay, sure. And just so something the earlier participant was asking, the gross margins for the year were at 32, almost 33%. This is not sustainable. Is that what we were mentioning earlier?
No. I said the gross margin for the year is, gets averaged out. But for the quarter is something exception, right? So if you say 36 is sustainable in the next quarter after quarter, it's, and you have seen in the past also quarter on quarter gross margins can vary based on a lot of factors. But obviously, full year gross margin, definitely it's sustainable and we need to maintain that or improve.
And going forward, this number can improve incrementally, keeping in mind that our order book mix is also changing towards, is tilting towards transaction services, etc.
See, and in principle, there is no way other than improving the growing the sales and improving the margin, right? There it's not that you can continue to maintain same. It's a gradual process. You have to improve the profitability. And no one can
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Apurva Bahadur from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So wanted to know your thoughts on the RDSS scheme. What's the update over there? Are we seeing any pickup in the ordering? And what could be the opportunity size for Schneiderware?
So I wouldn't want to put a number on the opportunity size because of numerous reasons. But the money, I would say, the investments are trickling in. Obviously, the government had challenges in terms of coming out of COVID. The huge spend on the health infrastructure that happened during that period, etc., slowed down the intent of RDSS as a this thing, and there are regulatory approvals which are also required for each of the investments. So there's a bit of lag in what I call as intent and action, but we do see those investments coming in gradually.
So by when can we expect this ordering to pick up over here, really? This year or next year?
I think it should pick up towards the later half of this year. But then my guess is as good as yours.
Sure, sir. Understood. So secondly, if you can please share the export revenue for the year 23.
Okay, just give me a second.
And also, where do we see it over the long term? Is there any percentage we are targeting for exports?
See, FY23, the export sales is 1985 million. Last year, it was 2397 million. So there was a slight drop in the export sales for the year.
What could cause this?
Again, as I mentioned earlier, it's a project business. So sometimes last year there was a jump on upside because of a couple of big projects which we had. So it keeps on moving sometimes like that.
Okay, and are we targeting a specific share over here of the overall revenue? Say X percentage you would like to be exports?
No, yeah, we see, we are expecting a good increase in export business from definitely, I mean, one is the normal business as usual from the current operations, but also from the new factory which is coming up in Kolkata, that will lead to a good export additional business from FY24-25 once that is operational. Because that factory will lead to a lot of exports. And
so how much would that be, if you can share the number?
I mean, I will not put a number right now because that factory will obviously, you know, lead, cater to both the domestic demand as well as export as well. A big part will be exports. So, and that will start coming from 24-25 financial year. And just restrict myself to that right now.
Okay, sir. Sir, and also if you can share the intergroup sales number for the year and also the order flow.
The intergroup sales for financial year 23 was about 19% and the orders intergroup was about, in terms of value, it was about 380 crores, 3798 million in FY23.
Okay. I think that's all from my side. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj Rishi, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can you just repeat the export number which you just mentioned?
The export number is 1985 million INR for this financial year.
Okay. And in 2 to 3 years, what do you think the export possibility is as a percentage of sales?
It has to grow as per the overall business growth, and that is the minimum. And then, you know, additional big volume will come from Kolkata new plant.
Okay.
We announced in last year already the work in progress for construction of that plant.
Okay. That is entirely for exports, right?
No, that will be domestic as well as export both.
Okay. And how big is the railway opportunity for you? Like whatever products you have in your on offer, how big is the railways? How big can it get in 2 to 3 years?
So there are two to three opportunities that you can see on the railway side. One is urban transportation, which are the metros, which are greenfield constructions that are happening.
Okay,
so here you have a scope for your products such as air insulated switchgears, gas insulated switchgears, a little bit on the transformer side, not too much, and also SCADA and software. The other opportunity is on the Vande Bharat trains, where we have out of our Kolkata factory, we supply them with a specific breaker, which is called a locomotive breaker.
Okay.
And you know the expansion plans of Vande Bharat, it's in public domain. I need not talk about it. So,
yeah.
I think that's very clear. And we are one of the preferred suppliers there as well. So.
Okay. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Manish Goyal from Thinkwise Wealth Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much, sir, and congratulations to entire team on strong progress on turnaround of the company and for reporting historical high margins and also reducing the borrowings to some action. Very heartening, sir. Sir, couple of things on our CapEx. What we have seen is that in current year we have spent 38 crores. So was it for our new facility in Kolkata or it was for our existing facility to increase capacity, if you can highlight that? And second, on the CapEx for FY24 going forward, how do we see that? That's the first question.
Manish, for this CapEx for the new factory in this financial year was negligible, not very significant. This was mainly towards the, you know, the additional couple of machinery replacement and as well as, you know, some kind of safety refurbishment which we had to do. The fire, mainly the firefighting system, that is the big one which we had done in our plants. So it's related to the existing setup, not to the new plant kind of. And a couple of machines we have replaced, so that is also coming.
So has it led to some capacity expansion as well for us, for our switchgear and transform?
No, not very significant.
Sorry?
Not very significant. You know, there was one big one was the safety setup because fire fighting setup, and so that was a kind of non-negotiable thing, right? And it was required. And another one, there was a couple of machines which were quite old and repeatedly breaking down, which we had to replace.
These were big ones
we have been kind of deferring to, you know, utilize as much as possible to avoid the capex. So that has also taken into it. So not a capacity increase as such on due to the capex.
And how much we intend to spend in FY24 towards Kolkata and other capex?
So Kolkata, I mean, a big part of the capex which we announced, a major part will come in this year only, because we expect to start production in next year. So
okay, so roughly 130 of crores what you have announced will happen.
Definitely, 100 plus will come in this year only. Yeah. So minimum 100 plus will be in this year.
Okay, and ideally, how do you see getting it funded? Because we saw some increase in your working capital also in the current year, and as we go forward, we will have, I believe, we will continue to grow double digits. So do you think we can fund it through internal accruals or we need to borrow?
No, partly, I mean, internal accrual obviously has now, from last 2 years, consistently we are generating cash. And so, and this working capital increase also has been to some extent a timing issue, because you saw we had good sales in this quarter and the last quarter too, it was towards the end. So that has led to increase in kind of, you know, the debtors and all, which is reflecting on the working capital increase. So overall, I mean, partly due internal accrual and maybe some borrowings as well, so which we have reduced currently. So that's how, and that's what we announced when we announced the CapEx as well, right?
Right. And sir, what we see is that there is an increase in inventory, particularly in this quarter, we see that 42 crores increase and for the full year 63 crores. So is it that there has been some delay in dispatches or we are building up inventory for future dispatches where we have good orders?
No, neither any inventory buildup as such for raw materials nor any significant delay in the project. It's the usual finished goods and WIP to meet to the demand of, you know, the goods projects which have to be supplied in current quarter, the June quarter and the early part of September quarter. So which we should normalize. I mean, yeah, this has been high, but it's mainly WIP and the FG which will normalize. But no major project as such where you have, you know, a very big delay and the inventory is stuck. There is nothing like that.
Right. And a couple of questions more on the transactional product side. How is the progress on empaneling new licenses, and how is it that progressing, and what is the traction we are seeing there? That is one question. Yeah.
Sanjay, you want to answer it?
Yeah. You are asking about the empanelment of the partners?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's like I mentioned, it's progressing very well with the state utilities, and the acceptance is growing, and we see a fairly good amount of shift happening from a direct servicing model to an indirect servicing model.
Okay, okay. So ideally, no, the reason I was asking is that directionally, yes, we intend that we probably move towards at least 40% of the revenue from transactional products. So we'll probably move on that journey.
Yeah, we will definitely move on that journey, because you see, the more references that you build up, the more accepted it gets in the market. So.
Sure, sir. And again, on a question on the forward-looking, in terms of, I just want to get a sense that particularly Mr. Sanjay is like, if you probably see what we have seen a couple of years back and now, would you probably like to put some or give some perspective in number that in terms of inquiries or in terms of order pipeline, what is that growth you are seeing?
So order pipeline, you can get a measure from the backlog number that Mayank mentioned. So you can see the backlog order growth.
What I'm trying to understand, Mr. Sudhakaran, is that like how is the like improvement in the environment? Are you seeing a big shift in terms of your sourcing, or because for us utilities is a large customer base, and probably still RDSS is not probably getting fully implemented. So still you are seeing that the momentum building up from one website and on.
Let me answer your question in a different way. You see, the weightage on the power and grid segment has gone down because of our strategies of diversification. So at one point in time, it used to contribute almost 50% to our top line. Now it is contributing less than 40% to our top line.
Okay, okay.
On the other hand, you have growth prospects on the power and grid side because of the RDSS scheme. Even if it trickles in, it provides us with a good opportunity to grow over the base. And secondly, the diversification agenda still continues.
Okay.
So you can assess the risk of the portfolio by looking at the diversification strategy.
And sir, say on this RDSS, what we see is...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Goyal. May we request that you return to the question, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
The
next question is from the line of Nikhil Jain from Galaxy International. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Are you able to hear me clearly?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to understand, let's say, one was on the CapEx in the new facility. So once fully operational, what is the kind of asset turns or kind of turnover that this new facility can add to our current top line? So that was one. Yeah.
So we don't want to talk about our business projections of the future right now, you know. We have a robust business plan. We have an ROI attached with it, and we've gone through the process very thoroughly. But it's forward-looking, and we don't want to get into a forward-looking discussion.
No, but see, the only thing that I wanted to ask is, let's say, when fully implemented, it's not in FY25 or 26, so whenever, let's say, it is fully implemented or fully utilized, it will add, let's say, 3 times, 4 times, 2 times.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Your audio is not clear, Mr. Jain. Can you use the handset mode while speaking?
Yeah. See, the point that I was trying to understand was on full utilization, not in the year. Okay. So it was not, let's say, whether it will happen in FY25 or 26 or whatever. So that was the idea. If you can get some sense.
You see, it will not give you a perspective because that is still only, that's a component factory.
5 years, 3 years, 2 years.
It's a component factory and it's only a certain percentage of your overall sales. So it would not give you a perspective, and for that, if you want it to make sense, then we will have to go into the breakup and things like that, which we wouldn't want to do that. Please appreciate that right now.
Okay, fair enough. So the next question was, I just wanted to get a sense on, let's say, what are the key sectors that our order book is comprising of? Let's say in the last discussion, you said that power has come down to 40. So what is the other, let's say, sectors which are emerging as an important perspective for us?
See, we have time and again reiterated which are our focus segments. So I think it's articulated in the presentation as well, which is mobility, which is transportation, emerging segments like semicon, which are again very power intensive, minerals, mining and metals. So we have articulated all that in the strategy documents as well, and buildings and industrial now forms a pretty large substantial part of our overall portfolio.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjaya Shatpati from Ampersand Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, thanks a lot for the opportunity, and it is great to see significant improvement has been made during this year and several quarters of profitability now, which I am assuming that will be giving the company the confidence to go ahead with the expansion plan which they have lined up. So my question is that you have reported this 10% kind of 10-11% kind of order growth, while the backlog growth is 15%. So can I just understand the reason between these two difference? Like, is it because of some capacity constraint or something?
Mayank, you want to take that?
So you see, backlog is what, when we are seeing 15% growth, that is from the, you know, the same period last year, same date as the absolute value growth, right? And it's not just the order growth which will derive that, and you have a orders and then you have sales number also. So it's not simply the just how much your order growth, that is the backlog growth. But yes, your point principally, I agree, I mean, order growth has to be more. Probably it's, and but sometimes what happens, it's a matter of some opportunities, if say slip from March, it goes into next year, or something which slips in previous year and goes to next year, that impacts.
Now, to answer your question more specifically, we do not see any concern on capacity to execute orders. We did have some issues with regard to electronic shortages, etc., which did slow down the backlog burning, but that situation is improving now. But there is a mixed issue also. Sometimes you have infrastructure projects in your pipeline, primarily in the mobility sector, the transportation sector, as we spoke about, which has a higher order to cash cycle. So that is one of the reasons by which you could have a larger backlog growth than your order booking growth.
Understood, sir. I mean, if I can just ask the last question, that the company had gone through a tough time primarily because of...
sorry to interrupt. Sir, may we request that you return to the question queue? There are participants waiting for their turn.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Raghav Jain from Jain Investments. Please go ahead.
Namaskar. Courteous congratulations for your steady set of numbers. I have a question regarding this Vande Bharat train sets which you are talking about, supplying them. Currently, of the current revenue, what is the percentage that of revenue is comes from, goes to this Vande Bharat trains? Can you please tell me that?
So, we do not provide granularity details on sales by segment or sales by specific opportunities. So, we will not be in a position to answer that.
Okay, and so far as this thing, this electric mobility, this charging stations, where does the company stand with respect to the charging infrastructure scenario, which is in nascent stage in India? Where does the company stand as of now, so far as supplying of these charging stations and stuff like that? Can you please specify?
Yes, so
Thanks.
As far as our strategy goes in this particular segment, we focus on primarily on the infrastructure which is behind the chargers. That is the powertrain, the electrification of the powertrain, low voltage, medium voltage, as well as the digitization of the networks. So we have a very strong global line of business around mobility and EV charging. So we have some very good use case examples from all over the globe that we bring to customers here. So if I were to answer your question, we are tracking customers who are diversifying into EV charging. We provide them with architectures and the low voltage and medium voltage equipment which is required to power these charging stations. The future opportunity which I spoke about in one of our strategy calls is on the microgrid opportunity, where these customers might want to use a mix of power generation sources, which is like solar and conventional generation put together, which will make the grid unstable and complicated. There we have solutions which are primarily software solutions which will help the customer automate and digitize the grid and bring stability to the grid. So these are the opportunities that we are working on, again connected to services and software. On the charging infrastructure side, we are in a wait and watch mode, I would say.
So right now, if I may ask, are we executing anything in this regard, or is just that we have just supplied something and stuff like that?
We are supplying electrification and the software solutions to the companies involved in EV charging.
Okay, okay. And future is bright, right?
Future is bright. Yeah, you're right.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be taking the last question. That is on the line of Utkarsh Somaya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Can you please tell me the current capacity utilization of your current facility? Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible. Please proceed.
Yeah, can you please tell me the current capacity utilization?
See, it's difficult to put a number to it, because it's being an ETO business. That takes a lot of factors, right? It's not a standard product where I can say, okay, my capacity is 1 lakh unit per month and I did 80,000, so capacity is 80% utilization.
So just for the product business, is it possible to give me?
No.
Okay. Okay, and my next question is it possible for you to explain the lab, like the cycle of how your sales are? Like, is it that the first you sell your products and after that you sell edge control systems and then the SaaS and software, or are there customers which don't buy products but do buy the other services?
Yeah. So good question. So you can, both models exist. You could have a customer which is an installed base, and you could provide these softwares to them as installed base services.
Right.
Which would entail a little bit of more planning, shutdown, etc., because then you would need to be intrusive, you would need to put in the sensors, etc. But there are customers who are looking forward to modernizing their factories and digitizing their factories. So this opportunity exists. Now, once a customer has seen the benefits of this, he could say that in my new project, Greenfield project, which is coming up, I would like to do this end-to-end, and that is where you supply natively connected products, as I spoke about earlier, and the edge control software and the apps and analytics all at one time.
Oh, understood. But do you come across customers which haven't used your products but yet would like to go for the other services we offer?
Yeah. Because some of the products that we, some of the softwares and analytics that we have is also agnostic. As long as the communication protocols can be managed by the customer through a converter or whatever it is, we can still provide the customer with those services. So we believe in open architecture. and not closed architectures.
So is it fair to assume that only products comprises of maximum part of your revenue?
Yeah, of course. That's reality today.
Right. And still it's not possible
to Sorry to interrupt,
give.
Sir. Mr.
Is just a is just a follow on, please. So it's still not possible to give us a certain, I mean, approximate utilization level if I'm only talking about products?
So like Mayank mentioned, it is not about just products, right? These are engineered to order equipment. So a product could take 24 man days to be manufactured. Another product could take 54 man days to be manufactured based on certain design configurations that the customer makes. So you cannot calculate capacity in terms of units.
Okay, so your capacity is limited by, I mean, is number of people as opposed to...
Sorry to interrupt, but Mr. Somaya, this was the last question that we could take.
I mean, it's just a follow-on, but okay, if you could just answer that, it would be helpful.
I think let's stick to the protocol and the timing, so...
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Muthus Kabra for his closing comments.
We thank Schneider Electric Infrastructure Management team for giving us an opportunity to host this call. We also thank all the investors and the analysts for joining this call. Any closing remarks you would like to mention, sir?
I'd like to give a big thank you to all the people who participated in the call, and I thoroughly enjoyed the interaction. And have a good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Elara Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.